to be here, and I pray that God will use His words in His special way. I know there are a lot of expectations, but I just want to remain faithful to Him. I'd like to talk about a topic that is very important to all of us. It's concerning your heart and my heart. Just this past summer, a high school football player from the state of Georgia, his name is Dontarius Searchy. He was found dead at a football camp in Columbia County, Florida. Dontarius was found unresponsive in his cabin after a morning practice at the camp. And doctor discovered that he suffered a heart failure due to hypertension. Dontarius was very close in age with many of you. He was just 16 years old. And also just this fall, September 23rd, Carla Dazing from St. Joseph, Missouri, received a call from his doctor. Her doctor called up. A new heart was ready to be transplanted into your body. And within 2 hours, Carla Dazing was in Kansas City, prepared for the heart transplant operations. Mrs. Dazing was diagnosed with heart disease, and that prevented her from doing her work. And she had to keep her job from Dollar General while she worked there for 17 years. She was tired all the time, and now after receiving her new heart, she felt stronger. But she still had to take 17 medications on a daily basis. As you can tell from these two stories, the conditions of our hearts affect the outcome of our life. It affects every area of our life. A healthy heart enables us to stay healthy, do a lot of stuff. Well, we can go hiking on a camping trip. We can go shopping, Black Friday shopping, as you all know well, and even eating delicious food at ABC Cafe. But a sick heart also affects many ways as well. Do you know that the heart disease is the leading cause of death in the United States for men and women? It's not cancer, but it's a heart failure. I believe you get the point. There are heart conditions affects the outcomes of our life. The word heart can mean different ways. Like in the story I just told you, it refers to our physical hearts, reside in our body that allow us to keep breathing and alive. The other meanings, the word heart mean our inner hearts, our inner beings that control our emotions, our feeling, our thoughts, our attitudes. For example, a person say like, my heart is not there. If someone say, my heart is not in this congregation, you would immediately say that, my emotions and my feeling is not here. I can't pay attention. And an example would be a cheerful heart or a joyful heart. That means what? That means that person is very happy, has a happy mood. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Our heart is the wellspring and the soft source of our life. And in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dry up the bones. As you can see in these verses, what is inside us, our inner heart, control our outward physical body. Just as the conditions of our physical heart affect our health, our inner hearts, our inner being, control and affect the outcome of our life. So brother and sister, how's the conditions of your heart this morning? Are you joyful? Or sorrowful, or amen, or somewhere in between. How close is your heart towards Jesus? How is your heart doing? Does your heart believe in what the Bible says? Does your heart want to hear God's word? In Jesus' time, Many people came to Jesus with different motives and heart conditions. Some came to hear His word. Some came to receive healing. While others came to Him to look at what He's doing. And they criticized Him after they hear the gospel, like the Pharisee. Every one of them have their own motive and heart conditions. But most of them, their heart are hardened towards God. They have ear to hear, but they are deaf to God's voice. Like the passage we just read, Jesus called out, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear." Knowing their motive and emotion, their heart condition, Jesus began to teach them many parables. What does a parable mean, kids? It means it's the story with the intentions to teach Bible truth. So we're going to study one of the parables this morning. Our brother George just read it to you from the Gospel of Luke. So we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke. We're going to read carefully. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people coming to Jesus from town after town, He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came out, the plants withered because they have no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came out and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear." His disciple asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parable, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and take away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by lies, worry, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce the crops. In this parable, Jesus talked about four different conditions of heart. He used soil as an analogy. As we study together, I would like us to observe how does the conditions of our heart impact our life? How does the conditions of our heart impact our life? Now, let's look at the first conditions of a human heart. The first condition is a hardened heart, very hard. A heart that refuses to accept Jesus as his personal Savior and refuse to accept God's word. In verse 5, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Highlight along the path. This phrase, along the path. What does the phrase along the path mean? It refers to the soil on the pathway of the field where farmer walk on. The soil along the path is hard, and it does not allow the seed to get in and grow. So the seed is left open on the field and quietly await its fate. And the Bible says, verse 5, what happened to the seed? The second part. It was trampled on. It was trampled on. And the Bible does not tell us who trampled on. And it can be anyone who walks by, step on it and crush it. And the last section of verse 5 say also that it, the bird of the air, ate it up. The seed also is at the risk of being eaten by the birds of the air. And along the path, brother and sister, nothing can be produced. What you see along the path? No plant, no fruits. If you are a farmer, you do not want this soil in your backyard. I do not want this soil on my lawn too. It doesn't produce anything. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. These two verses are the explanations of the analogy Jesus gave to his disciples. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and take away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Here we see that the seed is the word of God. More precisely, is the good news of the kingdom of God, or the gospel, which Jesus proclaimed in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. And as many people come to him, Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. And also, next, look at what does the phrase along the path represent. Those along the path represent people who hear the word, but they harden their hearts. They receive God's word, they know it, but they reject God's word. They don't believe that God speaks to them, and they don't accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because their hearts are hardened, it opened up an opportunity to the evil one. In verse 12, it says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then what happened? The devil comes and takes away what? The word from their heart. Take away the words. When we harden our hearts, it opens up an opportunity to the devil to take away words from that person. Some of you may not know, the job of the devil one is to steal and deceive. He speaks lies in a person's mind. For instance, what kind of lies? Jesus is not God. He's just like a prophet. He's just a human. The Bible is not true. It was written by people. Bible has a lot of error. Cannot be accurate. All the church, why come to church? It's just so boring. These are the lies said the devil wants to speak to a person's heart, to non-Christians. So you can't trust the Bible and God. That's the lies the devil one will speak to a person. And what's the outcome of this person? What is the outcome? Verse 12, so that they may not believe and be saved. He is unbelief. He is unsaved. That is the person who hardened his heart. For those of us here today, maybe you have heard of the gospel, you have heard the word of God, and had yet not respond. There is a clear warning here, brothers and friends. There is a clear warning. Because the evil one, the devil, will not allow the seed, the word of God, to remain in you for so long. The devil will come and take the word of God from you. And who knows, the seed may not be sown in you again. So if you have heard of the gospel, if you know that you are a sinner in need of God's grace and forgiveness, I ask you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior today before the opportunity is gone. Jesus relates this example to the Pharisee and teacher of the law in his time. Their heart were very hardened. They were proud. They were stubborn towards Jesus and his word. In Luke chapter 6, when Jesus healed a crippled man on the Sabbath, and they plotted to kill Jesus because the healing was on the Sabbath day, And they didn't believe that Jesus was a Messiah. Why? Because he was born in Nazareth. He wasn't a ruler in Jerusalem. They didn't accept Jesus because Jesus supposed to be a ruler. And they called Jesus what? They called him a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collector, a sinner. Even though the Pharisee and teacher of the law read the book of Isaiah about the suffering Messiah so many times, they still hardened their hearts towards Jesus. They pick and choose which scripture to follow. They choose their tradition instead of God's word. Well, we also find this example today. I have a lot of friends, family relatives, who hardened their hearts towards Jesus. So if you're one of them, I encourage you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior this morning, because He is calling you, knocking at the door of your hearts. This is the first condition. The second condition is a shallow heart. A person who has a shallow heart receives the Word of God, but he grows superficially in the Lord. Verse 6. Read carefully. Verse 6. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plant withered because they had more moisture. This parable also occurs in the book of Matthew and Mark. And it says, some seed fell on rocky ground. Actually, it's a rocky ground. It has some soil, but mostly rock. Well, you ask me, why a farmer want to sow a seed on a rock? Because the seed would not grow. In Jesus' time, seed was often sown before the ground was plowed. Therefore, so seed commonly fell on rocky ground. Before the farmer realized that there were rock underneath. And also, according to biblical geologists, some land in Israel has a thin layer of soil at the top, while at the bottom mostly rock. So this thin layer of soil at the top, I call it shallow soil. It allowed the seed to spring up into a plant. Not just a tiny plant, I would think. But it doesn't have enough soil. It doesn't have enough deep root system and moisture. So the plant will not last very long on this thin layer of soil. And eventually it will dry up. Let me drink some water. That's a good pause. I've seen this gardening and farming at work. Because at home, this summer, I plant some seed. Vegetables. I plant eggplant, a cucumber, a squash. And I use a very small container, smaller than this. So I put some soil. In order to have more plants, so I use a very small container. So put a lot of seed in there. So I water it, watch it, it grow every day and put a lot of water. But when Drew and I were out of town, nobody cared for it. Nobody put some water, and the soil dry up. And what happened to the plant? It died, dry up. It dry up like dry seaweed you eat in Japanese restaurant, you remember? Dry seaweed. And you can see the effect of the shallow soil on the plant, and the plant dry up. And this shallow soil example, Jesus explained in verse 13. Verse 13, it says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Brothers and sisters, what does those on the rock represent? Those on the rock. It represents Christians who have a shallow heart towards God. Christians who have a shallow heart grow superficially in the Lord. They receive the gospel with joy, But they don't have deep foundations in God and in God's Word. Their faith is pretty shallow. When temptation and trial, testing comes, instead of holding to the Word of God, they give in and fall away. They just like the plant which wither away. Just the story just now I told you. Although a shallow heart is a better condition than a hardened heart, but this is not what Jesus wants from a plant. This is not what Jesus wants from a person's heart. It does not meet the target Jesus required. Jesus wants his people to go deeper in his faith and a firm foundation in his word and bear fruits too. And he wants us to follow him even when facing troubles and temptations. In my teen, I was a shallow-hearted Christian, I would say that. I grew up in a church, like a little Jacob there. I went to church, attended Sunday school for many years. I knew well the story of Jesus healing the sick and David and Goliath, yay! And I memorized a lot of scriptures. Thus, I was spoon-fed with the Word of God most of the time, and I did not grow up firmly in God's Word. I did not spend time in God's Word at all. And I did not have a very good relationship with God. Because I didn't have a passion to study the Word of God, when I came to United States in 1998, I faced a new challenge. It was a new environment for me. I did not have family connections, support, friends. I was by my own. It's between me and God. Me and God. But I went to an American church in Grandview, Missouri. Someone from that church brought me there because I did not have a car at that time. But after I had a car, I drove there myself. But it was a struggle for me to attend an American church at that time because of language barrier, because I did not understand the sermon in English at all. It was a struggle. At first, I attended the entire worship service, both the singing and the sermon, you know. And gradually, I started to attend just the singing sections and skip the sermon because I like to sing. Later on, I skipped the Sunday service altogether and sleep at home. What a sad story. But I stopped, you can see, I stopped attending church. I had a shallow heart and did not stand firm in the Lord because I did not grow firm in the Word of God and in my faith. If it was not because of the grace of God who brought me to this church a few months later in 1998, I do not know where I would be at that time. I could just like the plant which wither away when facing temptation and trials. Brother and sister, I would like to all of us to examine our heart this morning. Am I the kind of Christian who had a shallow heart towards God? Am I a wishy-washy, lukewarm Christians who did not have passions to grow spiritually in the Lord? I read a survey that it said that testing will come when teenager went to a college. The survey said that 61% of the college student will stop attending church after entering college. That's very serious. I pray that all of us would dig deep in God's Word, would deepen our soil, you know, reading God's Word. If you want to know more about God, if you have the passion to know more about God but do not know how, well, come to Sunday school after this service and learn more about God's Word. Let's review what we have learned. In the first conditions of a heart, we learn if we have a hardened heart, we open the opportunity to the evil, the devil, and end up being unsafe and unbelieving. The second example, we learn about the shallow heart. If we have a shallow heart, we grow superficially in the Lord. Our faith is very shallow. We need to deepen our faith in God's Word. Otherwise, when temptation comes, we will not be able to withstand them and eventually fall away. Let's look at the third condition. The third condition is a divided heart. A Christian who has a divided heart allows the worldly things to prevent him and to divide his heart, to hinder him from growing maturely in the Lord. Verse 7. Read the Bible, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. In this analogy, the farmer sows seed onto the soil which has thorns. The thorn is a plant, or thistle, or wheat, or I would call maybe crab grass on your lawn, which destroy your good grass. Notice here that the thorns already reside in the soil. It's there already. It was left there, and the root is there. And when the farmer water it, the thorn will grow up the plant and choke the good plant. And the good plant become immature. The words here say that it caused the good plant to be unfruitful. And verse 14, Jesus explained this analogy. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worry, riches and pleasure, and they do not mature. I want to ask you guys, brothers and sisters, questions. What does the thorns represent? Anyone? I can answer. The thorn represents, look, verse 14. The thorn represents the worry, riches, and pleasures of life. Anything from this world, from this world, will prevent us, will hinder us from growing in the Lord. How about what does the seed fell among the thorns represent? It represents Christians who have a divided heart. He received the word of God, but allowed the worldly things to hinder him from growing maturely in the Lord. These hearts are so easily distracted, cluttered by the things of this world. And their concern for the worldly thing outgrows their seeking for the Lord. If your lawn have root and seed of crab grass, and you water it, you keep some water, feed it, and eventually it's going to grow up and destroy your good grass and your entire lawn. And that's happened. That is the outcome of a divided heart, cause it to be immature. And verse 14 says that a person with a divided heart does not mature and is unfruitful. Recently, I read an article, a group of Christians were discussing with his pastor on the topic of follow along the right path, following the right path. A dog passed by between the fire and the group. And the pastor asked the student, how many legs does the dog have? Uncle Tony will tell you, four legs, because he has a dog. Yes, Paul indeed, the pastor say. And the pastor say, have you seen the four dogs, the dogs that have four legs, trying to follow more than one path at a time? No, no, the pastor say. But why? People with only two legs try to follow two paths and even more at a time. They try to follow Christ and the world, the church, God's principle, and the worldly principle at the same time, or worldly passions. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to be holy and separate from the world, to be His holy people. We cannot follow God at the same time while we follow the worldly pattern, the worldly desire, the lifestyle of this world. And that is a divided heart. What are the thorns in your life? What are the thorns in your heart which have hindered you from growing in the Lord? Think about it. What are the thorns in your heart which hinder you from growing in the Lord? Could it be internet? No? Spends a lot of time. How about physical appearance? How about fashions? Money. Entertainment. We just went to Los Angeles. We know that the entertainment is very attractive things there. What kids, I want to ask you, what is the most attractive entertainment out there? Video game, Facebook. Do you know number one on top of number one rank is football. Okay. And I love to watch football games, but I have to have self-control. Otherwise, it will hinder me from growing in the Lord. How about prime time TV show? You all remember? You all know that? Watch TV. Good for you. And too much of it, it will hinder us from growing in the Lord. Growing maturely in the Lord. This is the third condition. A divided heart. The thorns will hinder us from growing in the Lord. The last condition is a receptive heart. A Christian who has a receptive heart receives God's word into his heart, abide by God's word, and live out outwardly according to the teaching of God's word. Verse 8. Let's read together. How about that? Verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came out and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said it, he called out, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear." The seed on good soil grew up. Not only it grew abundantly, it produced fruits 100 times more than what was sown. What a good harvest from this soil. I like this soil in my lawn too. The reason it produces a crop is because of the soil. The soil is not like the hard, the shallow, and the thorny soil in the first three examples. This soil is deep. It allows deep root system for the plant to grow, and is clear of any thorns which will hinder the plant from growing and produce fruits. Jesus explained this analogy in verse 15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. What does the good soil represent? It represents, here you say, those with a good and a noble heart. It represents Christians who have a noble and a good heart. Or I would call it a receptive heart. A Christian who have a receptive heart listens carefully to God's word and high insight and live out according to the word of God. The first heart condition, the hardened heart, sounds so bad in God's eyes. And the second and the third condition, the shallow heart and divided heart, are not good enough for Jesus. What Jesus wants from his disciple is in these conditions, in these heart conditions. A heart that receives God's word inside and bear fruits outside and continually hang on to the teaching of Jesus. And they produce fruits. Produce fruits 100 times. Many times. They are mature. They demonstrate the humility, the obedience, and the gentleness of Jesus. These people are mature. I'd like us to focus on the word perseverance. The word perseverance. You see that? By persevering. That word there is very important. Highlight it. By perseverance. By produce the crops. We all know life is a journey. It's not a one-time deal, an act. It's very important. I know that Christian start well his journey in the Lord. It is also very important for a Christian to end well and to endure the word throughout his lifetime. Of course, there are times of exhaustions, times of suffering and trials, and problem may come, confusions. The key here is perseverance. A Christian with a receptive heart receives God's word. He hides inside, but he also persevere throughout his lifetime. When difficulty comes, he also persevere. He trusts in the teaching of the Lord and he is faithful to the service of God. So as a result, we see the crops. And that is a receptive heart. Recently, I read an article from the July 2010 editions of Daily Bread. This one. It read as follows. One of my earliest childhood memory was watching snail in our backyard flower garden. I was fascinated by this little creature with a shell, a slimy little tummy, a tiny eye that turned like a periscope. But what really seemed unusual was how slowly a snail travels. So how slow does a snail go? And here it says, one study clocked a snail at 0.00758 miles per hour. Or 40 feet per hour, or 8 inches per minute. Very, very slow. That's why we use the phrase moving at a snail pace to mean slow. The snail does not move. Although the snail moves at a sluggish pace, one virtue, one character the snail has is perseverance. Perseverance. What does the word perseverance mean? It persevere under trial. And this word is used of believer who endure in their work of faith despite many painful trials. And Apostle Paul said that tribulations produce perseverance. Brother and sister, have setbacks slow you down? Have setbacks slow you down to a pain, to a snail pace? In this example, be encouraged. God does not ask for a fast finish. What God asks is perseverance in our progress. A Christian with a receptive heart is one who hides God's word inside and persevere and bear much fruits. How about our life? Does other people see godly characters? Does other people see a Christ-like trait in us? I know some of you may be overwhelmed by problems you are facing. But Jesus is reminding us this morning that we need to persevere. Although problem may come, but at the end of the road, we will grow up maturely and bear much fruits. God's word can also apply in our life in a more general way. We can retain it. How do we retain it? I would say read it over and over again until God speaks to you, until you remember the story, and until God speaks to us. My professor at Calvary said to us once, the Bible is not for our informations. The Bible, the Word of God, is for our transformations. It's the transformation of life. The Bible, reading the Word of God, is to change my life and your life. That is the Word of God. So let's review what we have learned so far through this parable of sower. In the first example, we learn about the hardened heart. A person who have a hardened heart opened the opportunity to the evil one, and it ended up being unsafe. In the second example, we learn about the shallow heart. A Christian who have a shallow heart grows superficially in the Lord. When trial, temptation come, he will fall away. So, read God's word. And because he does not have firm foundation in God's word. And the third example, we learn something about a divided heart. A person who has a divided heart allows the things of the world to prevent him, to hinder him from growing maturely in the Lord. And the last example we just learned is the receptive heart. We also choose to have a receptive heart, and we will bear fruits in perseverance. I would like to wrap up today's message with a real story. Shirley and her husband had served the Lord faithfully for many years in North America. Unfortunately, several years ago, she was diagnosed with lung cancer. I believe it was a late-stage cancer, so it was very severe. The news was very shocking to her and her family. It was so ironic that during that time, she was teaching the book of Job in the Sunday school. And the book of Job is about suffering. So she accepted the situation, went for the radiation and chemotherapy, not knowing what would happen down the road. Shirley had two young children in elementary school. Due to the radiation, she could not hug her daughter. Her young daughter could not understand why mommy did not hug her. And her mom has to close herself up in a room because of this cancer problem. But Shirley was a seminary student at that time, preparing herself to do God's work. Despite of this crisis in life, Shirley continued to persevere without wavering in her faith. She remained focused on her study. In fact, her faith was so rooted firmly in Christ that the morning she was scheduled to have her lung cancer surgery, to have part of her lung removed from her body, she was still finishing up her research paper. And she hung in her research paper before the surgery start. The cancer did not take her away from God. It did not divide her heart. Instead, it drew Shirley closer to the Lord, giving her opportunity to depend on Him. And by God's grace, Shirley survived the surgery and recovered. She graduated from the seminary and now serves faithfully in the church. And because of this event, her husband was touched, and because of the grace of God, she felt called by the Lord to serve in the ministry. Today, he also served in the church as a full-time minister. Shirley continued to serve faithfully at the church, and many people were blessed by her ministry, by her testimony. Her life bear much fruits. So, brother and sister, which type of soil are you? What does the conditions of your heart impact your life? What does the condition of your heart impact your life? Let's pray. Some of you here may have these three types of hearts: a hardened heart, a shallow heart, and a divided heart. For the hardened heart, do not resist Jesus. Jesus is calling you. He is a Savior who came to the world to save the sin of a sinner. Accept Jesus today as your personal Savior. For some of us here have a shallow heart, do not have passions to dig deep in God's Word, do not have the passions, the enthusiasm to study God's Word. Let's spend some time pray to God. Pray to God that, Lord, give me passion to study His Word, that I want to grow maturely in the Lord. Let's take 1 minute and pray to God. Oh, you have a divided heart. You let the world to influence your life from growing maturely in the Lord. Let's pray to God. They ask God to help you to overcome all these obstacles and problems in your life. Father God, we praise you. We thank you that you came to the earth to suffer for us, to die on the cross for us, that we have a new life. The past is gone. We are a new living being in Jesus Christ. Lord, that's why, Lord, we want to live a new life. We do not want to have the shallow heart. We do not want to have the divided heart. Will prevent us from growing maturely in the Lord. Lord, we want to have a receptive heart. We want to listen to your word. We want to grow maturely in you. I know that, Lord, your Holy Spirit is in us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. That you speak to our heart this morning. Lord, we want to be the good soil. Help us, Lord. We want to be obedient to your words, to your teachings. Father, we thank you, we praise you. Help us, Lord, to have the right heart before you because you want us to be holy. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the song, The Heart of Worships. It's about God, Heart of Worships. Uncle Tony, will you?